It is recording now. Okay, so absent are Matt Hall and Richard Kennison, board members, and Mike Sullivan and Martin Frost. Approval of the agenda. Do we have a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
I'll make a motion.
Okay, and a second, please.
I'll second it.
Okay, any discussion, corrections, additions? If not, anyone opposed to the approval of the minutes or of the agenda? I'm sorry. Any abstentions? Tonight's agenda is approved. The October 19th minutes, they have not been put together yet, I assume, because Brandy was not here for the last meeting. So can we have a motion to table the approval of those? Okay. A second to table the approval of minutes?
Second. Kevin.
Okay. Any discussion? Anyone opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Then we are going to table the approval of the October 19th minutes. On to the reports. Mike said, I just want to go back and check very, very quickly. Mike sent an email just today saying that he has nothing to report on future festival sites except that he is working on the Bowling Green State University dates and a draft for the contract for 2013.
And one thing, I just wanted to remind folks, last meeting I think we had said we would all go on the forums and respond to his, like, thing about where we wanted him to look for future festivals. I haven't been on in a while. I got back on there and I said San Francisco. But yeah, there's a big, huge, long list on there that he posted for us to look at and give him some direction of where we want to go. So if folks can get on there and give him feedback, that would be great.
Yeah, that would be good. I know I personally will not be able to do that until this weekend.
Yeah, whenever. And he's, I think, still on his vacation. But
yeah.
But before the next meeting, for sure would be
good.
Yeah,
that would be great if everyone could do that. Matt is not here, so with everyone else's approval, I'll skip over the 2012 Fest. I did send Matt a full-page, full-color advertisement for the 2012 Fest. He's just waiting to absolutely confirm the number one special guest, because that's in the ad. So once we hear back from that, we'll have the ad.
Sweet. You made it?
Yeah. Yep.
Sweet. Awesome. Good.
Yeah. In fact, I can send it to the entire board, so I will do that in a little bit. The financials. I did just get an email from Holly. Aaron just particularly about the YEP balance.
Uh-huh.
The YEP balance is currently $3,546.40. That includes the Boulder grant.
That's the $1,300 for the Boulder.
Yep. Okay.
We have like $1,700 or so.
Yeah.
Cool. $3,000 how much?
$3,546.40.
Wow, so we have a lot more than I thought we did. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Okay.
Could you possibly forward that to me? Because I don't have anything to write that down with.
I sure will. I'm doing that right now.
Thank you.
And it is sent.
Thanks.
Okay. Website team. Yep.
Kim, quick. When you were in that other discussion online, when you were commenting on the balance in the general fund, you had mentioned the $3,000 for that Boulder grant. Does that mean it has since been moved, or had it already been moved and there's actually an extra $3,000 to work with in the general fund?
Well, actually, that belongs to the YEP program, that $3,546. It is not divvied out into a separate fund. It's just...
You mean a separate account?
Right.
Separate
it's
account.
Not in a separate account.
Gotcha.
It's all put in the general fund. Holly
gotcha.
Just keeps track of it as a line item.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay, thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Website team, none of those guys are here. So
I'm here.
Erin's here.
I'm here.
I apologize.
No, that's okay. It's all right.
Is there an update?
Yeah, so we submitted we each got kind of interviewed by Wes for the needs for the needs analysis for the website. He created a needs analysis. We all gave feedback, and then my main request, I also passed it on to Dave Pawson to get his feedback too. But my main request was, can we get this approved or approved by the board before we actually get his recommendations? Just because it was really long. It was 179 needs or something like that, and a lot of it, I didn't know if it was necessary or whatever, but a lot of it was about back-end stuff and registration things and all that. Anyhow, so Mike said that once we approved it, he would submit it to the board to be approved before we got the recommendations. But how it turned out being is that we submitted it. Wes immediately gave us the recommendations for three places for the AMS systems. And we're meeting on Monday to discuss just kind of how we're going to move forward and what the overall, just make sure we're all on the same page, I guess, and then to look at these options further. And then I think we'll probably present the options to the board as well. One thing for me that's a little concerning is the needs analysis. It doesn't seem like something that is super functional to give to other website developers to get bids from them as well, which is something we had talked about doing. And so this would be something, Dave, that I would maybe want to talk to you about. But my thought is that maybe we could have another needs analysis created of website needs that could be presented to website designers for bids as well. So that's kind of where we're at right now.
Okay. Very good.
Dave,
any questions for Erin
on that?
Okay.
Nothing. Where is he?
Oh, no. Dave, are you there?
Yeah. I'm here.
Okay. I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on the needs analysis and what might be needed by web developers.
Not beyond what I had already mentioned to you. I mean,
right.
I had said that there were some things that seemed really important that weren't mentioned, and then
right.
A bunch of stuff that didn't seem that important that was or was mentioned six times or...
Right.
One thing that I do think helps web developers is giving them example websites that embody the qualities we want.
Yeah. And I think one thing, the AMS is definitely more, it's focusing on the back end. It's focusing on how to make registration and membership a more streamlined procedure that doesn't take as much volunteer effort. And I think that's Mike's main focus, which is why he's going for the AMS. But as far as actually getting the front end looking cool and modernized and schnazzy, functional. I think we're going to have to potentially use a different resource for that. So just, I mean, really, and I find that when I ask some people about it, it becomes a thing of, oh, well, the board's going to have to figure that out. But I'm hoping that technically minded folks, computer minded folks, will be able to really hash out what we need and what the best way to proceed is. The AMS systems, they were $6,000, I think, minimum per year. So, yeah, there's just a lot that we still have to look at for where we want to go with it. Anyhow, I'm rambling.
All righty. Any questions, comments for Erin, for the website team? Okay, thanks, Erin. If not, we'll move on to memberships. Marilyn Sullivan did send me a membership number, which, Brandy, I'm going to send to you right now.
Okay.
As soon as I find it. She just sent it today. There it is. There we go. That has been sent. And the number of member records is 1,243. Number of actual total members, 1,474. And youth are 76, families 173, and lifetime is 280. All righty. If you have questions about the membership numbers or anything to do with memberships, contact Marilyn by email. That would be best to do. Okay. Education. Kevin and Aaron, anything on that front?
No new updates at this point.
Okay. Okie dokie. Tom, anything with marketing?
Yeah, I've got a couple of things. So for the video tutorial contest, I started sending out solicitation emails to some judges this past week. And, yeah, so I should be getting responses to those sometime soon. I'm trying to get sort of an international representation for the panel judging committee, you know, the committee that will be selecting the winners from this year's entries. So that's NORCS. I was supposed to meet with an arts lawyer in St. Louis who used to be a member of the WashU Juggling Club. I'm not sure if he I'm not really sure where he lives right now. A guy named Dave Friedman, and he's fairly well versed in this kind of rule thing that I composed that we sort of puzzled over last time. So I was supposed to meet with him last week, but things got mixed up and we didn't actually wind up connecting. So we're going to talk sometime this week about that. So I think we're pretty well on track in terms of the official rules that all give the IJ the rights over content that's submitted to the program. The way that the judging panels are going, I'm kind of considering dropping the idea of having a celebrity judge panel for a couple of reasons. The biggest one being the workload that it's going to involve to coordinate it. My schedule is kind of getting to the point where I think it might be a little unmanageable to have two separate judging panels, so it might be a little too complicated. But the panel that I'm trying to construct for the general awards committee or judging or whatever should have some pretty big names on it if everything comes together. So I don't think that's a big loss. I'm going to start soliciting prizes for the competition in January. That's my plan. Last year I started mid-December, and that I should have realized it's kind of a terrible time to try and convince or try and talk to vendors about anything other than just normal business since that's the height of the holiday season. There's that. I guess sort of another thing, it's not really a marketing thing, but I'm working on a grant proposal right now for sort of a revamping of the archives project in Vegas. And that's through, I mean, it's through my master's program at Drexel, so it's you know, it's under a professor for this class, so hopefully it'll be usable, but at any rate, I should have it more or less finished by the end of next month. I've been talking to Reg Bacon, I guess those of you who are involved in the 2008 Archives Project should be familiar with him, but he's an archivist who lives in Massachusetts, who was a performer for a while, and he oversaw a lot of the program in 2008. So he's given me some good help. We're going to talk again later on this week. So that hopefully could turn into something. And I'd be curious to talk to him about some of the stuff for the website, too, because if we're able to get a new site that can hold a lot of the archive or, like, information, sort of a digital archive collection on the website, he probably has some ideas for good tools for that, what exactly we'd need to be able to update that from, you know, from the warehouse in Vegas. So, yeah, that's pretty much what I've been working on this month right there.
Cool. Any questions for Tom? All right, Tom, good work.
What's the when will the YouTube tutorial contest open?
In the past 2 years, we've sort of made the announcement, I guess the formal opening of it in February and closed it on April 1st, or I guess March 31st at midnight. So that's my plan, but that's certainly not concrete.
Any other questions for Tom? All right, Tom. Again, good work, especially with the grant. You said you're writing a grant as part of your program?
Right, yeah. I'm working on a grant proposal for this grant writing class I'm taking. And, you know, whether or not this is something that will get funded, who knows? You know, I'm going to do some research into where we can submit it and how to tailor it for those places and everything.
Yeah.
But I feel like, you know, especially in light of all of this digital versus print stuff that's going on right now, making the archives accessible would be a pretty huge benefit and reason for people to join the IJ, I think,
yeah.
As patrons of the history of, you know, everything that we have. So.
Right. Cool. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do we have any other reports tonight? If not, we'll move on to the motions. Motion A is a motion to approve John Nickel as the IJA treasurer. Someone to make that motion, please.
I'll make that motion, Mrs. Tom.
And a second, please.
Second it, Erin.
Okay. And discussion. John has spoken with Holly and has reviewed the financial certificates and whatnot, you know, our financial reports. So he feels comfortable in taking over this position, which thrills me. Yay. So I think he'll do a good job. Any other discussion about John?
Just out of curiosity, how many of you actually know John?
I met him in Portland. He seems like a pretty cool guy with the right idea.
Yeah, I don't know him personally. I worked with him for a few months when we were trying to make the treasurer position. That's when the treasurer was also keeping the books. And we tried doing a financial team rather than just one person, which did not work. But John was, out of the group that was working together, was the most, I would say, the most qualified out of everybody on that team to be working with finances. Holly seemed comfortable with him as well. And Holly has agreed that, you know, with John as treasurer, she would be interested in continuing as bookkeeper. So that's a good thing, too. So if we have no other discussion about the approval of John Nickel, we'll go to vote. Anyone opposed to John Nickel being appointed as IJA treasurer? Any abstentions? John is our treasurer. Yay.
Yay,
we've got a treasurer. And I will email him right after the meeting to let him know. Item B is a motion to move forward with the production of an online e-zine based on the proposal submitted by the blog team. And the rest of the motion you shall have in front of you. Someone to make that motion. Dave, since you wrote it, would you be interested in making the motion?
I would certainly make that motion.
Okay, and we need a second, please.
I'm seconding it. This is Tom.
And discussion.
I think it's a great idea. I guess I'm a little curious about, I guess some of the discussion we've had online about the funding levels, you know, the number that Scott has thrown around is $1,000 a month, which would be $750 in cash and $250 and I guess in kind, like from the store or in memberships or in some other thing. That seems fairly reasonable to me, especially considering that you know, we are planning on having this fundraiser sometime soon. And when you compare the, I guess, just the overall expense of, you know, the magazine was around $60,000 a year, and then if this winds up being $12,000 a year, we're retaining a pretty high level of you know, service to the members or benefit to the members and reducing costs substantially. I think it's unreasonable to think that we can really decrease it any more than, you know, like 80%, which is what we're doing. I realize there's a cash flow thing, but I think that, you know, this is an expense that needs to be made.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's good to start with a lower level investment as we kind of learn the lay of the land. If we were to dive all in, I don't think this represents the limit of what we're going to spend on this, just a start.
Right. I'd like to see a budget that outlines exactly where this money is going to go. I know he's indicated where it's going to go, but I'd be curious to see, you know, what exactly is going to go to what. And I'd feel more comfortable approving it with that document in front of us. But just on the whole, I think the numbers seem reasonable, especially considering, you know, that this is going to be replacing the physical print magazine. You know, this is going to be a new just online journal.
Well, the finances of the e-zine project are actually in the next motion.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Yeah,
Dave separated them out when he wrote them.
Okay, sorry.
Because I figured this would happen.
That's okay. I mean, it's all on pretty much the same topic, but this one's just to go ahead and move forward. And motion or item C in the motions is going to be the budget discussion on it.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, my bad.
No, it's all good. It's all good. All right. Any further discussion about moving forward with the e-zine? If
but
not,
I think
we'll
it's a brilliant idea.
go ahead.
I think it's a brilliant idea. I think the work I've seen from David and Scott on this in the last month has been really remarkable, and the speed that they move at. They're both super motivated to do it, and I think it's a great replacement for something that we're losing, at least for the time being. So. Yep.
Yeah, I would agree. I want to be perfectly clear. In the last month or so, I've done almost nothing. I've been busy with other stuff in real life, and so the two of them, and I won't speak for Erin. I don't know how much she's done, but the two of them, I think, have done
they've done
almost
the majority
all
of it.
Themselves.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's been incredible, yeah. So, and I've put in tidbits here and there, but for the most part, they've done everything, yeah. Impressive.
Okay. All right, we'll go to the vote then. Anyone opposed to this motion to move forward with the production of online e-zine? Any abstentions? Okay, motion carries. Item C, motion to fund the production of the online e-zine with a one-time startup budget of $250 and a $750 per month budget for paid content. This funding is to be revisited in 3 months' time relative to the financial status of the IJA, the perceived value of the e-zine, and the perceived value of the per-day content we've been receiving. Someone to make this motion? Dave? Okay.
Sure.
We'll give it to Dave since he wrote it. A second, please.
I'll second. This is Tom.
Okay, Tom. And discussion.
So Tom has expressed some interest in kind of having more detail on the budgeting. Part of, in general, I've been probably more picky about financial stuff than most people, and I've been reasonably comfortable with this just because it seems like it's pretty spelled out that this money is going to pay in particular for content with some homework done as to what we have historically paid for it and trying to basically be able to produce the same amount of the same quality of content that has been in juggle. Mm-hmm. I mean, I also figure it helps that it's not like there's some external entity here that we're giving $750, and they're just going to do whatever they do with it. I mean, I think it's going to end up being, if somebody writes something, they're going to need to be paid.
Right.
And we'll get an invoice to pay them for whatever they wrote. So if something weird happened and we couldn't get anybody to write anything, we don't spend anything.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, the 750 number, I came at it from a few points. It's not that I think 1,000 is an unrealistic number in the long run. It reflected a few things. I mean, part of it was that for the moment we need to tread very lightly and not spend any more than we have to. Scott had even said in one of the recent notes that he thought early on we probably wouldn't need to spend quite as much on content, and so I was happy to take him up on that. And I think it's enough of an investment to take a decent stab at this and put out a decent product and see what happens without committing a ton of money before we really know how it's going to be received. So it seemed like kind of a happy medium. The $250 was a little more ad hoc. That was partially to make sure we had enough content at the point it goes live, partially because there was some talk of using a graphic designer to make sure we have a decent banner and that it looks nice. And I wasn't sure if we were going to have costs associated with that. But that's kind of where I came up with those numbers as what seemed like a healthy balance between being conservative and making sure there's enough money to give it a fair shot of success.
Sounds good.
Go there.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, I mean, I know, Kim, you made your point of making sure that we have the money. And I think that's a real thing to look at for sure. But at the same time, it's reevaluating it every 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, essentially what that also means is if it's something where suddenly we are lower on money, we can make that lower as well. Doesn't mean it has to go up. So it's a reevaluation every 3 months, which I think is good because that keeps us in tune with what our current finances are, depending on the situation.
Oh, I did have a question that Tom and I were discussing the other day. So a big variable in this is that clearly we have to fund the Winston-Salem Festival, and I have no idea what the time frame on that usually looks like. Like, when do we end up having to pay for the facility?
The facility bill doesn't come due until after the fest, actually.
I like that answer.
Yeah, that's the easy part. The tough part of the budget is that any travel for guest performers
mm-hmm.
needs to be paid as we get their tickets, their flight tickets and their transportation. So that's where your expenses come in before the fest. I'm working on trying to get us as much grant money or sponsorships. Sponsorship letters just went out yesterday to 20 major corporations in and around the Winston-Salem area. And I'm going to be following up with phone calls next week. And I've already done an email introduction saying, hey, this is coming in the mail, and have gotten out of the 20 corporations, I got 18 responses back saying that, you know, they'll be looking for the letter. So I'm hoping we can get some good sponsorship to pay for those flights and the other transportation costs before the fest.
Frame things a little bit, we went kind of crazy with performers last year. Do you remember how much we spent up front for travel last year?
I have not seen Mike's final spreadsheet.
It was bad.
It was
bad. Is it like low tens of thousands, somewhere in there?
I want to say, off the top of my head, I want to say it was around 15,000, may have been 18.
All right. So if we assume that that was bad and that just can't happen again, then maybe we need to think about having somewhere in the neighborhood of $5,000 to $10,000 available to pay for that.
Right. Matt right now is looking if he were to bring in all of the performers that he wants to bring in, the list that he has sent me, which I want to say is six individuals and or groups, you're looking at about $10,000. Matt well realizes we aren't going to be able to get all of the performers in that he wants.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're working together. It's pretty much as we get sponsorship, we're using it for a performer that he wants to bring. Pavel was his first choice, so the $5,000 grant that we got from the Convention and Visitors Bureau, part of that $5,000 is being used for Pavel's transportation in. So Matt's approaching it, and I'm trying to make sure that he approaches it that if the money isn't there, we're not spending it.
Mm-hmm.
So.
So the goofy spreadsheet that I had whipped up had us floating between like $6,500 and just under $10,000 in the coming month.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like in addition to the general fund balance you quoted, we already have some grant money that will help with this, the upcoming costs for performers.
Yes. The money hasn't actually gotten into our hands yet, but yes.
Right.
We have $5,000 from the Visitors Bureau coming, and we have $2,500 from the Twin City Quarter, which is their business association.
So that helps. That probably gets to where we have a reasonably comfortable buffer there.
Mm-hmm.
It's close, but...
It is close, but I'm hoping with these sponsorship letters that went out, if even 10 of those organizations send us $1,000 or $2,000, that would be huge.
Yeah. Yeah, so that doesn't really change my opinion, which is good since I proposed the motion. That makes it seem like, well, it's tight and we're going to need to really keep an eye on things, but it should work.
Yeah, and we have our fundraiser coming up. It'll just be interesting to see how much we can raise during that to go towards it all as well.
And I am hoping I was reasonably conservative or pessimistic on the renewal rate for existing members.
Right.
Like on the downside, yeah. Good.
Okay, any further discussion? Are we ready to vote? Is there anyone opposed to the motion to fund the production of the online e-zine? Any abstentions? Okay, the vote passes. Yay, yay. I will email Scott and let him know that both of these motions have passed. Okay.
Great.
Right after the meeting. And item D, motion to approve props to you proposal that Aaron sent. We need
I'll
someone
make that
to make
motion.
Okay. A second, please.
I'll second it. This is Tom.
Okay. Discussion?
I'm reading furiously.
I
like it. I thought that some of the wording in the very beginning could be tightened up, especially.
Oh, I'm sure. I busted it out in a day to get it in time.
Yeah.
It's
is this
just
the final document that's going to be public?
No, it's just an internal proposal. Just
okay, cool.
Pass this proposal, yeah, so it's nothing that's going to be published anywhere.
Okay, well, then I retract my comment about it.
All right.
You take that.
Sweet.
So the simplified version is that the Props to You becomes an official IJA program?
Yeah, last time it was voted in as a trial program.
Okay,
so this
yeah.
would just be putting it with the title of program for the IJA.
The only- It could be improved is just getting the word out on our part. You know?
Yeah,
beautiful thing, and not just the word out to bring the props in, but get the word out to show the positive things being done.
What we're doing,
Right.
So, yeah, and one of my plans for that I put at the bottom is that I do want to have a logo created this year, and I have somebody who's willing to work on that, and then, like, kind of either create its own Facebook page or just start pushing it more with Facebook, and also we can do, like, articles in the e-zine when things are actually sent out and stuff. And then, yeah, I should have a whole bunch of photos coming soon from the Afghanistan group that got props. They said they sent it to me months ago, but I never received them, so they're sending them again. So we can use those to start promoting more. And they said that their plan is to always provide those for us so that we can use it for publicity to get more props. So that's good. And, yeah, and then the one thing, because last year we did three. This year it would be four, but I kind of, the Juggling Life program, it was just going to be part of YEP because Jen Flaw is a YEP rep. But I just wanted to single that out because it is a really special program with a cool cause. Yeah. So that's why it's separate.
Yeah, I think this is great, aside from the fact that obviously it's just a good thing. As we're looking more at grant writing and trying to raise external money, I think this is the kind of thing that it's pretty hard to argue with because it's very clearly giving and it's very kid-oriented, which seems to help. So I think
yeah,
it's definitely
totally.
The kind of thing that we want to encourage and be associated with.
Sweet.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with everything pretty much all of you have said. It, you know, this is just a good program. So, any further discussion? If not, we'll go to the vote. Anyone opposed to the motion to approve the Props to You proposal? Any abstentions? The motion carries. Yay. I did put under, do we have any other motions to consider for this evening? I didn't hear from anyone. Okay, if not, under VARIA, Aaron, I did put in under VARIA, decide on a day and time to meet about the remaining proposed goals and objectives. So if you would like to lead that and see when is a good time.
Yeah, I guess I'm leaving.
I have to admit that my schedule is such a mess right now.
And I know pretty much everyone's is, so it's a tough thing to do. And that's where I just put, you know, as long as, like, four people could be there to make that plan, it would be great. And it doesn't even I don't have to be there. Because, I'll be leaving for Mexico next Tuesday. So if we don't do it before then...
We'll never see Erin again. She'll never come back this time. She's
going to
be down there.
Sucking me in. I mean, it could be at the end of the month, but I like getting things done in a timely manner. So I'd prefer to get it done quickly, but I don't know that it's realistic that we can meet before Tuesday. So.
My life is pretty much bedlam until about Wednesday.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and actually mine is too. So it wouldn't
really... Tuesdays are probably the best day for me out of the week right now.
Tuesdays worked for Tom.
Tuesday the 29th.
Tuesday the what? 29th? That's what I was thinking too. Tuesday the 29th at what time?
I have another meeting at 8 p.m. my time, so maybe 5 Pacific or 6 Pacific.
Dave, I guess you're the only one who has the whole work schedule thing.
Six
I mean, that would conflict.
Yeah.
Your specific time.
6 Pacific works pretty well for me.
Okay, on a Tuesday. Cool, yay. Okay, 6 Pacific time, Tuesday the 29th then.
Okay. So we are set with that. Anything else for VARIA this evening?
I just wanted to bring up time frame for the letters for the fundraiser. I know we had said the 15th. So, Tom, I wasn't sure if you ever got Kim's email.
Which one would that be?
It would be regarding her response to your
in response. was that the one that was about print versus email?
Yeah, that was part of it. That was part of it.
Yeah.
And about kind of shortening the letter a bit and stuff.
Yeah, sure, sure, sure.
Okay.
Well, in one of the classes I've been taking, I have a couple of things in response to that. Sorry, I haven't sent you an email back.
Yeah, you can send it later if you want. I mean, it's up to you, but.
Yeah, sure, sure, sure. There's some statistics that basically go to show that the level of detail that is in that letter is there's a higher conversion rate in terms of there's a higher amount of donations that statistically come back from a letter of about that length with that amount of detail. And that when we're talking about annual fundraising letters, which is why I wrote it that way for this class. And I'm not necessarily advocating that we don't shorten it or that I guess that we do anything with it. But that's the reasoning behind I guess that page and a half long thing that I sent out. And on that too, I would personally be in favor of us like physically sending out hard copies of the letter as well. And I realize that that is around a $900 cost in terms of shipping. But when
shipped
we think
to all members?
That would be shipped to all members, yeah. Because, I mean, there are so many people that aren't part of the online community, and if they... I know that most of our members do have email addresses that are listed, but some people might not even bother reading that stuff. But if there's a physical letter that gets dropped, through their mailbox, there's a greater chance that they're going to read it. There's a greater chance. I mean, you're holding a physical thing. Like all of our arguments about the or conversations, I guess, about the having a print magazine and the reasoning behind that. The fact that it makes you feel more connected to an organization. Having that feeling associated with a fundraiser, that's the feeling that we want, especially when we're asking for money.
But now, Tom, by saying that, it's almost like, okay, it's all right to spend the money to put a fundraiser letter and ask you for money in your mailbox, but it's not all right to put the magazine in your mailbox.
Sure, yeah. No, I mean, I recognize that there might be some perceived hypocrisy in that, too, but I don't know, when you think about the percent of return that we need for the fundraising letters to pay for themselves, that's relatively low. If you get, what would it be, like 10% of the people sending in, $10, that would pay for that campaign in and of itself. And, I'd hope that people send in more than $10 each. I mean, I recognize that there's a risk, and I recognize that, this is largely... hypothetical at this point, or conjecture at this point, I guess, but
well,
I guess those are my jumbled thoughts.
Last time that we ran the fundraiser, when Sandy Brown ran it with Steve Ron, and I want to say Jim Ellison was on that too, they busted their tail, and they raised $5,000.
Right, yeah.
So we're looking at spending 20%.
Yeah.
Of
sure.
What we took in last time. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just a lot of money.
No, that is. Absolutely. Last year, I guess 2 years ago when that fundraiser was done, we did send out some hard copies of letters, didn't we? That was sent out to life members, is that right?
That was sent out to the life members only. And actually the team that worked with Sandy, they covered all of those costs. They donated those costs because I think they were all life members themselves.
Okay, sure.
So now an idea might be to send out the initial letter through email.
Right.
And then after a couple of weeks, whoever we haven't heard from, follow up maybe with a reminder postcard or something. Either that, or if we can get a real quick bulk mail rate, bulk rail stamp or bulk mail stamp.
Yeah.
Because if we could do that, then that pretty much cuts the cost in half.
Yeah, that would be great. What are we entitled to as a nonprofit in terms of bulk mail?
We can get bulk mailing rate. I know we can. I did it with my theater group. The problem is, in order to use the bulk mailing, you can only send from one address.
Sure.
So if I were to get a bulk mail stamp for the IJA here at my local post office, that wouldn't be a problem. But that means any bulk mailings we do have to be sent from this post office only.
Oh, okay, so that would be a permanent thing? Or can that be renewed at some point, do you know? Or?
It can be renewed. I would have to check and see if it can be transferred.
Right, I guess that's what I was asking, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it is renewed on a yearly basis.
Sure.
So I can look into that.
Okay.
I have a half day of school on Friday, so as soon as I'm out of school, I can run to the post office and check on that, and I can email everyone.
Okay. What does that feel like?
Yeah, if we could knock it down to like a $400 cost,
yeah.
I think I would feel more comfortable with doing it. It still means stuffing 2,000 envelopes.
And doing like a targeted, and I know this will take a lot more work, but, you know, like a targeted mailing. I know that's one thing you talked about in the past, Tim, was targeting the life members or, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't remember at all what information I gave when I registered. Do we have any kind of demographic information on members?
Yeah, I was thinking demographics, if we have that too.
I'm
not
well,
sure how Maryland has everything broken down on the memberships.
Yeah.
Well, like in particular, plenty of things that you sign up for ask what your household income is. Do we do that?
Yeah. We do not do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, is the income-based.
Tacklers aren't fond of that question.
Mailing. Tacklers aren't fond of that.
Yeah. I can tell you about Facebook, all the people that are interested in our stuff on Facebook, and I realize that's a sort of a self-selecting group that is on a social media site.
Right.
I'm looking at that right now, but 72% male, 24% female. The largest demographic is 18 to 24-year-old men, and that's 21% of the total likes on Facebook, at least. But that might just be representative of, you know, Facebook's population in general.
Totally.
But I mean, I was right. I was mostly interested in household income because it would make sense to target people that we know have a decent household income, but it sounds like we don't have that.
Who's the 1% of jugglers?
Yeah.
Kiwi.
Yeah, totally. That's, I mean, ideally, you know, you do want to target and cater to those folks that actually have the money to give, but it's just how we actually know that and decipher that and do it in a way that's also classy.
Which is a
good word. But that would take some work and some research and going through 1,400 members and figuring it out. So,
yeah, I think that just kind of a feel-good letter that talks about all of the different programs that the IJA does while also talking about how we're, you know, going digital and in doing the whole digital transition, it's more accessible to more people, you know, and how it'll help us grow as an organization. I think people ought to be receptive to that, or at least kind of understanding of that.
I didn't think the length was too bad, especially if it was a letter. I mean, it kept my attention, but that's also because that's that was my intention, was to pay attention to it.
Sure.
But I think explaining stuff, and I mean, Kim's thing of, you know, talking about the programs and keeping it to a sentence each, you know, that could work too if we just cut down the description, because, as she said, we have described all those programs in other ways, but really created one concise, powerful sentence for each program could be effective.
And what I was going for was the letter itself right now is about a page and a half.
Right.
I am just so used to, and maybe this is old school, but I'm so used to any kind of formal writing like this being kept to one page.
Sure.
So that you don't have to flip the letter over.
Yeah.
We're not having to put three pages in there because you've got the one page of the letter and then one page of the donation paper. Right now it would be three pages.
Right.
But if we can knock down that letter to just a single page rather than a page and a half, I just think it would catch more people's attention. Like I said, that may be old school on my part.
I think it's no. I think I've heard that a lot too. Is you know keep. I mean that's why you keep a resume to one page because people get bored after that amount of time. So it makes sense that we would do that as well with the this letter. But still keeping as much strong detail, maybe just limiting the content in each of the.
So maybe that's another thing we can work on. Like Friday, I'll check on the bulk mail rates and check to see if. A bulk mail license can then be transferred to a different facility. And at the same time, I'll work on getting it down to like a one page, and then I'll send it to you and see what you think. I have to get my articles written for Juggle first, and then I'll work on that.
don't overdo yourself too, Kim. You've got lots going on.
Yeah, I know, but I've been like this since I was 12, so it's all good. So that's a very long time.
But so then do you guys think the 15th is realistic for that letter to start going out?
Let's see, today is the 9th. Oh, that gives us 6 days. Yeah, because I think they approve, if I remember correctly, they approve the bulk licensing right there at the post office.
Right.
So then it would just be a matter of getting the stamp made. And that's a 24-hour turnaround anymore, so.
And then I'd say, yeah, Kim and Tom just deciding between the two of you, like, as far as mailing versus emailing and such.
Sure.
Sure.
Be good. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Sweet.
Yeah, Tom, as soon as I hear about the bulk mail rate, I'll be in touch with you. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, sounds great.
Okay. Okay, anything else for Varia tonight? If not, then it sounds like we're up to our next meeting. If we stick to the third week, we're into December already. The third week is the Wednesday before Christmas. Do we really want to do that?
We could go for 4 weeks from now, which is second week.
Actually, the 4 weeks from now is actually the first Wednesday.
Oh, well, or 5 weeks, whichever.
December 14th would be 5 weeks from now.
I'd probably prefer 14th.
14th.
It looks like either of those is fine for me.
Yeah, I'm easy.
I like the 14th better. Tom, did you say you're okay with the 14th?
Yeah, so far as I'm aware, that'll be fine. There's a chance I'll be in a rehearsal then.
Okay.
But... yeah, it should be fine.
Okay. All right, then let's call it for December 14th at 8:30 p.m. That's Eastern time. 8:30 is still good for everybody?
Yep.
Okay. And the only other item is motion to adjourn, unless anyone has anything else.
Motion to adjourn.
Okay. Second, please.
Second.
Okay. Anyone opposed to adjourning the meeting? Any abstentions? Meeting is adjourned at 9:31 p.m. Eastern Time.
Sweet.
Awesome job,
guys.
Thank you, you guys.
Thank you all so much. Have a good night.
Yeah,
you too.
Bye.
Bye.